turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verses 24 through 34. Have you ever said this about an individual? You've thought to yourself, man, I would like to have a faith like his. I really would like to have a faith like he has faith, or a faith like she has faith. I think probably all of us have people in our lives that are that way. We look at their faith, their walk with God, their consistency. They see God do great things in their life. And we think to ourselves, man, I wish I had faith like that. And so this morning, what we're going to be looking at is the story of a woman that I think we all want to have faith like. And the big idea is that when I have faith, it means I'm fully persuaded that Jesus is going to do something. That's what faith is. You say, definition of faith, that's it. I'm fully persuaded. He is going to act. And so we come to this story in Mark chapter 5, and it's kind of a sandwich story in that it's a story between a story, and Jesus ends up at a place, and a man approaches him whose daughter is very sick and to the point of death, and he asks Jesus, would you come please heal her? His name was Jairus. And so Jesus said yes, and he's following Jairus, and there are tons of people. I mean, hundreds, if not thousands of people. It's like the end of the Democratic National Convention as Hillary Clinton's making her way through the crowd, or Donald Trump is making his way through the Republican National Convention, or the Pope. I mean, there's just hundreds of people that are crushing up against Jesus, wanting a touch from him. And so this woman is there. And all these people are following him. Verse 25, and a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus. Say that with me. She heard about the emphasis on heard. And so she came up behind him through the crowd, touched his robe, for she thought, say that with me, she heard, she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that power, that healing power, had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and he asked, who touched me? Who touched me? And the disciples looked at him and said, are you kidding? Come on, there's hundreds of people here. We can't find that out. But it says, and the word looked around doesn't mean like glance, like quick look. It means penetrating. I'm looking at individual to individual. Was it you? Was it you? Was it you? Was it you? You back there. You. You're the one. It was that deliberate type of looking. Kept looking around. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, she trembled because she knew Jesus would heal her. She didn't know how, and she didn't know when, but she knew. And this quickness of this healing is what caused her to tremble. She could not believe this thing had happened so fast. And she fell at his knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, say that with me, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace, your suffering is over. So how can I have faith like her? How can I have faith? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you look at me, or look at that. It isn't that. That does not equal faith. Some people thought, well, you know, she was sick. She was so sick that that's what caused her to have faith. No. I'm telling you what, there are people that are desperate. There were hundreds of people circling around Jesus that were desperate, that were not healed, that were not touched. But she was, because desperation does not equal faith. There are many people, even people here today, you're in a desperate place and you are having a faith quake and your faith is falling apart. Where it used to be strong, the foundation has been shaken, and it's not making you stronger. It's only made you weaker. So desperation does not equal faith, so don't go there. She was a desperate person. She'd been sick for how long? How many years? 12 years. She was also desperate because Leviticus 15 spoke directly to her. And it said, here's what you do with a person, with a woman who has this kind of problem. The Bible, God's word, pointed straight at her and said, you are a sinner. You are unclean. And everybody you touch and everything you touch is unclean. Anybody touches you, they got to go take a bath. And then they have to be set aside for an entire day because of you. She had the Bible pointing at her and pointing at her sin all the time for 12 years. You talk about desperate. And then she gone to doctors. The doctor said, we can't do anything. Then she, whatever money she had, she didn't have any longer. And then the disease just got worse and worse. She was desperate. And there are a lot of people who are desperate. There are some of you who are desperate. There was a throng of people, 100,000s of people that were desperate. And you may be one of the in that throng of people this morning, and here's what you're saying. Well, God, do something. You know my need. You know what's going on with us. Financially, we need this. You know you're sovereign, you're omnipotent. I'll just trust you'll do whatever you're. Look, let me tell you what you're doing. You're waiting on the side of the road for him to do something. This woman did not wait on the side of the road. She went after him. You see, there are some of us, her faith was motivating her to action. Their desperation was motivating them to action. And there is a big difference between the two. Her faith in him was motivating her to action. She said, I believe in him. I believe that he's going to change the situation. And so that's what caused her to reach out to him. But other people are saying, my need is driving me to action, and I'm going to do something. I'm telling you, one is more mature than the other. And God more quickly responds to the one than he does to the other. They were all waiting. If he'll just stop, if he'll just reach out his hand and pray for me, then I will be made well. She said, forget that. I'm going after him. I am not waiting for him to pray for me. I am not waiting for him to speak to me. I am not waiting for a touch from him. I am going after him. And that's a huge difference. Desperate people kind of wait. And there is always the waiting aspect, but it's waiting in expectation. It's the sense of, Lord, I put this before you, but I am like you were penetrating, looking. I have that kind of faith. I am looking for your activity. As most of you know, I use this story in the first service, but as most of you know, Taylor Bedrich, in the years and years and years, born with a tumor right in the middle of his brain. Only recently, over the last year and a half or so, they said, it's dead, it's gone, don't worry, you can move on. 18 years, Taylor, the family, what have they been doing? Waiting in expectation. Pressing in. Here's what, I told that story in the first service, and Melinda came and said, Scott, she said, one day when Taylor was about 8 years old, she said, I go into the room, he's in his bed, and he's got his hand up like that. And she said, Taylor, why'd you got your hand up? He said, because of that woman. In that story, Mark chapter 5, she reached out to Jesus, and that's exactly what I'm doing. Whoa, 8-year-old man. That's what I want. You know, I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to wait for him to do something. I'm going to reach out to him. God's good. He'll respond. But he responds, I believe, more quickly when we reach out to him. So desperation does not equal faith. You want to have a faith like hers, a faith that is fully persuaded that God's going to do something. Desperation won't take you there. Second thing is this. If we can go. Is that your answer, read it with me, your answer starts with your thinking. See, again, we get passive on this thing. We just think, well, God will do something or he won't do anything. I'm telling you, it all starts here. When you walk in this confidence, he is going to do something. In Mark chapter 5, verses 27 through 28, it says about this woman, she had heard. Say again the word heard. Heard. She heard about Jesus, and then verse 28, it says, for she thought. Say the word thought. Thought. She heard, she thought. It all began right here in her mind. Jesus will do something. Your answer is directly related to your thought life. She was fully persuaded, God is going to answer my prayer. I don't have any doubt about it. I don't know how it's going to happen. That it happened so quickly, she was shocked by it. Tells us she didn't know how it was going to happen. But she thought, he will do something. I'm going to reach out. He's going to act. And I want to tell you something. Your answer normally begins right here, where you say, you know what? He's going to work. He's going to answer this prayer. It is his will. Folks, I said this a couple of weeks ago. I'll say it again. God's will, about 95% of the time, is real clear. I believe that. About 95%, there's an element of it when we're trying to figure out, you know, God's will for my life. When I'm, you know, what should I do with my life? Sometimes that may take a little time. But as far as, does God want to prosper you? Does God want to bless you? Does God want to heal you? Does God want to cause reconciliation in a relationship? Does God want to advance you? All those kind of things. Yes, 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 yes. And we got to walk. You say, how do I know that? Look at Genesis 1 and 2, okay? Genesis 1 and 2. If you want to get a visual on God's will, Genesis 1 and 2, the life and ministry of Jesus. Look at how Jesus did life. Look at Genesis 1 and 2. You say, well, yeah, but that's, you know, before sin entered into the world. But what are we to pray? What are we to pray? Your kingdom come, what? On earth as it is in heaven. So we pray. Genesis 1 and 2. That's the way it was on earth. We pray it again. On earth as it is in heaven. And there you see perfect relationships with each other, Adam and Eve. Perfect relationship with the environment. There was beauty. There was joy. There was hope. There was contentment. There was everything. They had perfect relationship with God. That's what God wants. You got to be fully convinced, persuaded. It starts here. You say, well, you know, Lord, what should I? Sometimes, again, there is some difficulty. But I want you to look at this passage in Hebrews chapter 11. It's on the screen. Read it with me. It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists. Everybody believe God exists? Say it. Raise your hand. Believe God exists. Everybody does that. Do you believe that God rewards you if you seek after Him? You don't raise your hand there, because a lot of us are like, yeah, I think so. It better not be think so. It better be I know so. I know so. And it's not just in heaven. I know He's going to reward me in heaven. Amen. Amen. Come on. Amen. Amen. But He's going to reward you in this life too. Amen. See, you're not as strong. You're not as strong. We got to believe that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And I'm not pretending to know what that reward looks like, but that He is responsive to those that seek after Him. How did she become persuaded? How did she know that God would heal her? Let me give you three things, because it's the three things that will help persuade you that God will answer your prayer. Number one, she knew the Old Testament. She knew that God created the planet. She knew that God called Abraham out. She knew that God had delivered them, the Israelites, out of bondage of Egypt. She knew that the Messiah was coming from Israel. She knew these things because she knew the Bible. These things had been taught to her. I want to tell you something, folks. The most important thing you can do in your Christian life is to be grounded in the Word. Be grounded in the Word. Be grounded in the Word. Because I'm telling you, sometimes God delays the answer. Sometimes there are demons that are keeping the answer. Sometimes my disobedience is keeping the answer from happening. And I've got to be able to say, you know what? I don't know why I'm not getting the answer, but I know what His Word says, and I know what others have gone through, so I'm grounded. I'm okay. Secondly, she had her faith in Jesus as the Savior of the world. So how do I know that? Because when Jesus responds to her, what does He say to her? He says, daughter. Daughter. You only say daughter when you're in a relationship with somebody. She believed that He was the Messiah. She had heard the stories. So she had faith. She was grounded in the Word. And then thirdly, she heard the stories from other people. Other people told their stories. Maybe there was this Uncle Benjamin. Uncle Benjamin, we'll just call her name, I don't know, we'll call her name Mary, that's easy, okay? Let's say her name is Mary. He came up, he said, Mary, have you heard about the Jesus? I believe He's the Messiah. So what do you mean, Uncle Benjamin? Well, you know your Aunt Naomi, how sick she was. She was in bed and she was hurt and She couldn't move. You know, she couldn't do anything. And I took her to Jesus. He healed her. His dad, she's at home and she's doing everything she's always wanted to do. And Mary's like, what? What are you saying? You're talking about my aunt, your wife? Yeah, and not only that, but when he speaks with authority. And that, you remember that kid, that crazy kid, Simon? You know that crazy demon-possessed? He was running around and Jesus saw him. He said, get out of him. And a demon came out. Now Simon's got a right mind. He's not crazy anymore. She heard. She heard the stories. You see, I'm going to tell you what. Testimonies build faith. Amen? When you hear the testimony of what God does in young people's lives, what does it do? Well, he can do it in my life. And I can pray in confidence he'll do it in other people's lives as well. That's why it's so important that you share testimonies. Those three things, faith in Jesus as Messiah, foundation in the word that she had, and then the testimonies of other people. Those are the same things we have. I've said this before, told you this before, for at least 20 plus years, I've been praying for the nation of Pakistan the first 10 years. I didn't hear anything about happening in Pakistan that was God-centered. Just heard about chaos. I'm telling you almost weekly now. I get reports about God doing miraculous and powerful things. Leif Hetland, who is a guy, maybe some of you know, I pray for Leif. We support his ministry. Family supports his ministry. He's got a connection in Pakistan. He is now meeting either this week or the next few weeks in Indonesia with over 400, with one church leader in Pakistan who's over 425 churches in Pakistan. That's just one guy over 425 churches. 10 years ago, nothing. I didn't hear anything. You know what that does? It motivates me to pray. I'm seeing the hand of God work. Let me tell you something. As a pastor or as a chaplain in the Air National Guard, last Sunday I wasn't here. I was there doing my chaplaincy duties. Here I am. I'm working with three guys over the last 2 years, and I'm telling you what, their lives are just plummeting down and out of control. Over the last 2 or 3 months, all of a sudden, God has begun to do a 180 in their lives. I'm beginning to see major change and transformation. I'm thinking, woohoo! Woo! God, go! God, go! Building faith. It builds confidence. I'm seeing God's will being accomplished. We saw a miraculous, we're still kind of waiting. We're waiting on that. That's fine. That's fine. But I'm telling you, if we get this confirmation about this major prayer breakthrough that we saw just a couple of weeks ago during our healing prayer, I'm telling you, it's just like, yes, somebody else that I've been praying for many, many years, we begin to see him begin to make steps of faith towards God after it seems like decades of no movement and all of a sudden movement. All of that, what does it build? Those are the stories that build faith. Those that you think, okay, God's doing something great. He's beginning, we're praying for Treg out there on the surf last Monday. So we begin to see some breakthrough happening in his life. Again, those are confidence builders. Those are things that help us see God is at work. God is doing something. Those three things you need for your faith to grow. Those are the things that begin to change your thinking. All three are necessary to become fully persuaded that God's going to answer our prayer. The next one is this. If you want to have a faith like hers, read it with me. It was necessary to get the answer. Friend, you are not passive. You do whatever is necessary to get the answer. Verse 27, it says, she had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd. Say that with me. Through the crowd, touched his robe. And she touched his robe. Let me tell you, there were three things she did, and they're all interrelated. Number one is this. She got out of her comfort zone. As a person, at Leviticus 15 was very clear about a person, a woman who had this kind of issue. It was you were to be isolated. You can't touch anybody. She wasn't married. She had no children. She lived in that cottage off away from everybody else. So what did she do? She got out of her comfort zone. I already talked about that. That was kind of part of the message I preached earlier, okay? She got out of her comfort zone. Your answer is just beyond your comfort zone. She was used to being isolated by herself, not around, not hanging around anybody. She was used to this life of just sort of, you know, staying away. You stay away from the crowds. You stay away from the city. You let other people do your bidding if you need something from in town. Ask somebody else to do it. You don't do it yourself. She said, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to get outside of my comfort zone, and I'm going to press into this thing. The second thing that you see that's on the screen is this, is that she broke the Old Testament law. The Old Testament law said that every time she touched something or someone, it was now unclean. Think about this. She is pushing through a crowd of people. Everybody she touches now has to take a bath, because that's what the Old Testament law required. I mean, honestly, if you're there and you're trying to see Jesus and she brushes up against you and you know who she is, you're thinking, oh, brother, I took a bath a week ago. I don't need a bath. Now I'm going to have to go. Not only that, I'm going to have to get away. And oh, goodness. Mary, what are you doing? You're making my life so inconvenient here. I mean, honestly, people are probably getting mad at a few people that know her say, oh, golly, what did she do? You know, she said, I don't care. I don't care what the Old Testament law says. I'm going to go after him. What is the Old Testament law for us? Not just for application point, it's our mindset. It's our mindset. The law represents our patterns, our habits, our ways of doing things. It's our mental models. And what we want, as I said earlier, is what we want is we want the big breakthrough. And sometimes God is good at that. But I'm telling you, for some of us, the mental model we need to break is, instead of saying, you know, I'm waiting for the big breakthrough, it may be God's saying it's a process. You want an answer? The answer for you is physical exercise and a healthy diet. And you're like, ugh, I didn't want to hear that. I just want you to heal me. And God says, no, you need to go to the chiropractor, okay? That's the way I'm going to do this thing. I didn't want to hear that. You need to go to the mental health professional, or you need to go to the therapist. That may be the answer that he's saying. That's what you need to do. You got to break out of the mental model, the mental mindset that you have, whatever it may be. She fought, the other thing that she fought through, it says she fought through the crowds. I'm going to tell you something. For you to get your answer, there are things you're going to have to push through. And again, a lot of us, we say, I don't want to push through that. You're going to have to push through some pain of the past. I don't want to have to push through that. It's old. God says, no, for you to get your healing, you got to push through it. You got to push through that unforgiveness you have in your heart, that bitterness towards that person that hurt you. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to. And Jesus says, no. For you to get healed, you got to do it. Push through the crowd. I don't want to have to do that. God, I don't want to tithe. God says, no, if you want your finances to be in order, you got to begin to learn to trust me with the tithe. I don't want that. In order for you to experience the answers you want, you're going to have to go ask somebody for them. You know that person, that teacher, that influencer, that coach, whoever, that guy that you really don't like, that rubs you wrong, guess where your answer is? He's got it. Oh, that means I'm going to have to humble myself and ask for forgiveness. Yeah, that's where the answer is. You're going to have to push through the crowd. You see, all of us have crowds in our life. Stuff in our life, and we say, I don't want that. I just want it to be a clear shot between me and God. Clear shot. And God, Jesus is like, look, I can hear you, but there are some obstacles you're going to have to work through in order to hear back from me. And listen, there are things in our lives we say that they are unconquerable giants. That's too big. Can't get through that thing. I'm going to tell you something. I got this mic in my hand. I feel this anger welling up in me now. I could almost throw this thing. It just gets all over me. Gets all over me. He can tell you, in the first service, I wanted to break a guitar. I mean, I don't know whose that one is, but I just love to take it and slam it right now. Just break it. Because there are some things that some of us have said about crowd things, it's just too big. It's just too big. I just can't get to Jesus. Let me tell you what one of them is for the American church. It's dementia. It's dementia. It's Alzheimer's. Because when somebody gets a diagnosis of Alzheimer's, and all of us have been affected by Alzheimer's with loved ones or friends that have had it, and we see its devastating effect upon an individual, upon a family, and it's like, oh, man, it's so awful. It's so bad. And we've come to the point, I'm going to tell you what the church in America has done. We bow to you, dementia. You have more authority than we do. We can't do anything. Our only prayer is, oh, God, please help that person. We don't expect God to do anything except to give that person peace. I'm telling you what, dementia bows to the dominion of the King. There is no dementia in heaven. And he said, you pray on earth as it is in heaven. I guarantee you, every person that had dementia that Jesus came in contact with, guess what happened? They got their memory back. And we look, well, yeah, Pastor, I believe that if you've got that attitude in you, you don't believe it. We need to be confident of God's will concerning these kinds of things. And say, you know what? So we're going to pray. We're going to pray. So this woman was fully persuaded. She pushed through this crowd. She pushed through this hard place. God is going to do something. We need to be fully persuaded. Either he's going to come through with a miracle or there's going to be a medical breakthrough. It used to be when a person would get a cancer diagnosis, what would it be like 30 years ago? God bless you, sister. We're going to pray for you. God will give you peace. That's what we're going to do. But I'm telling you today, when a person gets a cancer diagnosis, we don't have that same attitude, do we? We don't have that same attitude. We think, you know what? God can heal that person. He can do a miracle or he can use the medical community. Either way, a miracle or medical, we believe that. I'm telling you, we need to have that same confidence when it comes to dementia. It is nothing but a person in the crowd keeping us from the fullness of what God wants to do. So what are your comfort zones that you need to break out of? What is the old mindsets? What are the crowds? What are the obstacles that you need to press through to receive whatever it is you're seeking God for? Are you doing the things that God requires? Sometimes we're not getting the breakthrough because we're not doing the things God requires. We think we want a breakthrough, but we're not being obedient. We're not being obedient with our giving. We're not being obedient with a wholehearted attitude towards God. We're not being obedient with full obedience to God. And that's what he requires. The last thing I want to add is this. Okay. Read it with me. You are fully persuaded that Jesus will change your situation. There was this active engagement in her faith, an active expectation. Here's what it says in Luke chapter 8. So she reaches out, she touches him. She's immediately healed. Here's what Luke chapter 8 says, and referring to the same story. Jesus turned around and said, someone deliberately touched me. Who did it? What do you mean? There's like hundreds of people touching. No, someone deliberately. Say deliberately. That is a person of faith, a person who believed that God was going to do something. We have to believe this, that when I'm reaching out to Jesus, he is reaching out to me. I want you to put your hands in the air. Put it in one hand in the air. That when you are reaching out to Jesus, he is reaching out to you. And sometimes you feel it. Sometimes you know it. Sometimes there's nothing. It doesn't matter. Either way, in faith, when I'm persuaded, I'm reaching out to him. I know that he is doing something. Can I hear an amen? Go ahead and put your hands down. Notice what I want you to see is the things that changed in this woman. One is she was healed. Her body was healed. It was healed. And again, she didn't know when it was going to happen, but boy, she knew it would happen. She was healed. Second thing that happens, daughter. Daughter. Say that with me. Daughter. She had been outcast, unclean. Stay away from her. Get away. She'll contaminate you. Here she comes. Kids, get in the house. That's what she was known as. And Jesus said, daughter. He changed her identity. He healed her body. He changed her identity. And then he said to her, shalom, peace, peace be with you. And it wasn't like, you can go now, God bless you. No, it's like, your life is now different. Shalom means I'm living under the pleasure and the blessing of God. Go, get married. Go, have children. Go, be productive. Go, under the blessing. Everything changed with her. Let me tell you something about this thing. When God does a healing, he does it more than just at one level. He does it at multiple levels. As most of you know, Stephanie's battling Parkinson's. And people say, well, how's she doing? And I'm going to tell you something. She's doing well. She's doing well. We've had some really good days. She's had some really good days. Really good days. And people say, well, you know, is she completely healed? She is not physically completely healed. But you talk about mentally, emotionally, relationally, spiritually. Yeah. Yeah. She's not the same person. She deals with life differently than she did 2 years ago, than she did 6 years ago. She deals with problems and stress differently today than she used to deal with things. She deals emotionally different. She deals with her emotions differently now because she put herself under the Word and under the ministry of the Spirit, and those areas the Lord has healed and is healing. You see, if God, and Stephanie has said this, she said, you know, if God would just heal me physically without restoring and renewing my mind and doing some things within her, she said, then I'd still have the same issues. I'd be physically better, but emotionally, mentally, I would still be the same person. So, yeah, God's doing a work. God's doing a work. And that's the way God does these things. Verse 32, Jesus looks around. He says, who touched me? But he kept on looking. He kept on looking. Say that with me. He kept on looking. He's looking. Let me tell you something. Right now, today, he's looking. He's looking across this group of people and he's saying, who's looking back? Who's reaching out? Not just who's in the room. He sees you. You can wave at him. He sees you. But he says, man, who's the one who's reaching out to me? God is moved by people who reach out, and not just in desperation, but in faith, going, you know what, I know what your will is, I'm going after you. I'm actively seeking after you for this thing. Jesus is moved twice on this occasion, and then in Luke chapter 7, a Roman officer who had a sick servant, the officer said, I need you to heal my servant. Jesus said, well, let's go. And he said, no, Jesus, you don't have to go. Just say the word and he'll be healed. You don't have to go to my house. Just say the word. He'll be healed. Everything's under your authority. And Jesus said, wow, you got faith. And he was healed. This person was healed. That's what God is looking for from us. People who will reach out knowing, Lord, I know what your will is. And I know you're going to do it. Now, I'm going to say this. And this is a confession from me. And I need you to stand in agreement with it. I've talked to Stephanie about this earlier. But it's where I am. And I'm saying this because I want you to see it. When it manifests, okay? Here's my confession. Let me tell you the thing that I'm seeking God for in a big way. There are many things, but this is a big one, okay? This is a big one, and it's about our finances, specifically in the area of our mortgage and also the college loans that we took out for our kids, okay? So those two areas. Other than that, we're great. And, you know, everybody's got mortgage, and most people got college loan debt, all that kind of stuff. I understand. I got huge, okay? Those are mountains. Those are mountains. But I want to tell you something. I am fully persuaded my God is going to meet that need. I say that to you today because I want you to see it happen. And how is God going to do it? He'll either provide the means, that is the avenue, for it to be met. And however that may happen, it may take a year, it may take 10 years. I don't know. It may take 2 days. Or he'll provide a miracle, or he'll do both. See, here's the thing. I've believed God. Seven and I've believed God for some big things, and we've seen, I don't know, probably $15,000. We've seen God help us out, $15,000. I mean, come through miraculously for $15,000. I've seen that. I'm thinking, okay, let's just go big time. Let's go big time. Let's be fully persuaded, not just go, well, I know you know, God. I know you know. No, I'm saying, you know, and I know what your will is, and you said I could say to the mountain, be gone, and it will be gone. So I'm saying to this mountain, be gone. Be gone. Provide the means, provide the miracle, provide both, whatever. I trust you because it's your will. What is it that you need to be seeking God for? Let's stand together. 2 Chronicles 16 says, the eyes of the Lord are scanning the earth. They're scanning the earth to see whose hearts are positioned towards his. Is your heart positioned towards him? Just because you're in the room doesn't mean that heart is reaching out to him. I want you to bow your heads with me. Jesus is moved by people of faith. And today he's looking with a penetrating stare to see, okay, who is it that's reaching out? Who's reaching out? Would you reach out to him today? Maybe today, some of you may not have faith in Christ. You've not yet come to true faith in Jesus Christ. And so what you need to do is to reach out to him in faith, making him your king. And at the end of this service, I want you to come forward and talk to our prayer team. In fact, as I'm saying that with the deacons and prayer team members, if you would, come forward at this time. Deacons and prayer team, come forward at this time. They're going to be down front and show you how you can make Jesus your king. Others of you, there are other things in your life. It's like this woman, persistent long-term issues that have been the same way for, and the Lord is saying you've got to get out of your comfort zone. Quit trying to get an answer down the same road that you've been walking down forever. You've got to do something different. There's some of you, you're in a bad relationship with people, and God's saying, you've got to try a different approach here. What you're doing is not working. Now, I'm not suggesting divorce or anything like that. I'm just saying there must be a different way of dealing with that person. Get you out of your comfort zone. Help you break that mental model. Press through the crowd. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you give courage to these today. Just as this woman had courage to step out and press into you, I pray that today that you would give these people courage to step out and to press into the fullness of who you are. And we pray these things, and everybody said, let me speak a blessing over you. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, Stephanie and I will be in the back. We'd love to visit with you just for a moment. And if you have whatever your prayer need is, these folks are here today to pray and to stand in faith with you. From Romans chapter 15. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. So that today, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.